Welcome to Lisa and Phil Ruin the Movies. I am your not host, Lisa Schmeiser, here with Philip Michaels.
I am your host, Philip Michaels, and you're listening to Phil and Lisa Ruin the Movies.
Lisa and Phil, it's alphabetical.
Oh, is it?
No.
Oh. I kind of like it the other way.
Lisa and Phil or Phil and Lisa?
Either one.
Who's on first?
So, what are we here to talk about today?
The Star Wars trailer?
No.
No?
No, because it's not a trailer.
Oh, it's a teaser.
It's a teaser. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this in the last podcast. This trend of releasing teasers for the trailers that you will eventually release, mm-hmm. like as in Jurassic World,
it
infuriates.
Well,
because it's building, it's hype upon hype.
Yeah. Also, they didn't show you anything in this teaser.
No,
except the new type of lightsaber with. Tiny, I guess you light your cigarettes with the sides to make yourself look cool.
I guess that's if anyone reaches for your lightsaber, it's an anti-theft detection tool.
And better than going, whoop, whoop, whoop. Yep. I do like that soccer balls have become sentient in a galaxy far, far away.
Exactly.
And can now kick themselves.
Mm-hmm. The Millennium Falcon is still flying.
You know.
Doing somersaults.
You know Leia and Han fight about that thing constantly.
How do you know that's not being driven by
Han would never let
Han Solo Jr.
No, he'd never let his kids touch it. He loves it too much. It's like the vintage car that your dad restores in the garage and your mom resents all the time and money that he spends on it. And he never lets the kids touch it because they would just ruin it. But he expects them to love it unconditionally, even though it took away like precious time and attention.
And there are X-wing fighters, and
I think the
stormtroopers have integrated, so that's good to know.
Progress came to the Empire.
And
I think what I'm actually kind of confused about is there's still the apparatus of the Empire creaking along the TIE fighters and the stormtroopers, and I was like, is this supposed to be like a parallel to the way the Soviet Empire quote unquote crumbled, but didn't really crumble? It's just the tiny weird splinter places.
Well, maybe under the Rebel Alliance things aren't so hot and people are going, yeah, no, I really kind of liked it when the stormtroopers were around.
At least the TIE fighters flew on time.
Mm-hmm.
Those Death Stars boosted thousands of economies.
Mm-hmm. And it's the Force Awakens.
We had the... Oh, you know that's what Luke says to Mara Jade every morning in bed, right? Hey, baby, the Force is awakened.
And your powers are weakening, old man. That's what she says in reply.
We're imagining all sorts of domestic
so basically what we've decided,
Chewbacca's
the new Star Wars movie is about crumbling marriages.
Yes.
And
they're going for the Oscar this time,
and
the only way you could get the Oscar is if you depict an unhappy relationship, people being unhappy while music plays. So the special effects are just there to get you into the theater. The rest of it is a searing examination of relationships. Meryl Streep makes an appearance as like some sort of a diplomat.
Broken this marriage is.
Communicate more, you must, with honesty.
Yoda died in the sixth movie, but the third movie. There were no first three movies. They were all just rumors.
Mass hallucinations.
Yes. Let's just agree not to. But Yoda's dead, so I guess he's a marriage counselor from beyond the grave.
Maybe the Ewoks are marriage counselors now.
They would be terrible at marriage.
They would just dance. Yup, dub.
What does that mean? No, I'm trying to reestablish communication with my wife.
Well,
you're just playing on a stormtrooper's severed head.
Well, maybe the parties can unite in contempt for their counselor.
Oh.
Like when you have a common adversary, this always strengthens your bond.
So now we've turned Star Wars 7 into the ref, basically.
Can you imagine Dennis Leary in the Star Wars universe?
No.
No.
No, nor would I want to.
He and Han Solo could have a quip off.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
But this is not what we've gathered here to talk
really
about a teaser trailer.
No, because it's not even a trailer. It's a teaser of a trailer.
Yeah.
Although I am kind of enjoying all my Facebook friends who put up the wrong fan-made trailer. We're like, it's official, it's here. No, it's a minute of Mark Hamill looking broody. That's not the trailer.
Yes, Mark Hamill from 1983 looking broody.
Oh, he was beautiful.
Yes.
Let's just go there.
He was a beautiful man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that was, what, 30...
That was a long time ago.
In a galaxy far, far away.
No! This is not why we're here.
No.
We're here to talk about a different movie. To ruin a different movie
the
podcast.
We're never here to promote anything we actually like.
No!
No. So we better stop. We should stop talking about Star Wars because I still like that.
No.
Those three movies were spectacular.
The three movies that
exist.
Two of the three movies were good. Were very good.
Really? Which one do you
I do not like Return of the Jedi.
Hmm.
I think Return of the Jedi is when they begin to really start reading the press clippings and go, people love that Mos Eisley spaceport. Hey, let's have an entire ship of weird creatures and a band. And, oh, kids love little creatures, so let's give them Ewoks. Now, there's a marketing component to the third movie, whereas the first two felt very
Heady perfume of commerce makes you uneasy. Mm-hmm.
I think George Lucas started looking at the receipts for the Kenner toys and said, I need to sell some more crap. And that's why you got what you did in the third movie.
I am a cynic. You know what I like to think, though? Is I like to think that the incineration of the Death Star created the kind of environmental chaos that made the Ewoks go extinct.
There you go. We can only hope.
Yeah, because the pieces land in the Ewok ocean and an enveloping cloud of steam goes through the planet. The rainforests die due to lack of light. Mm-hmm. And the Ewoks just exist in tiny, adorable cages because they're on preserves like pandas.
The first shot of the next movie.
Oh, please let it be.
It's going to be preserve. Wicked on his deathbed going.
Yum, yum.
Close up of him like ironized Cody, tears streaming down
through his fur.
Ewok face. I don't know why you're laughing. It's very poignant. We're not here to talk about Star Wars.
No. Because we're unspeakably perverse.
We're here to talk about the movie event of, is it of Christmas? When is it coming out?
I don't know and I don't care.
In theaters February 13th. The movie event of Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's not going to be awkward first date material at all.
Yes, we are here to talk about 50 Shades of Grey, which of course is the big screen adaptation of Shonda Rhimes' Grey's Anatomy, finally coming to the big screen.
They have had enough regulars where I think you could have 50 legitimate cast people that you recognize from assorted covers of People magazine.
Ellen Pompeo?
Pompeo? I have no idea.
Who cares? And Sandra Oh is in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Patrick Dempsey.
Do they bring back
Katherine Heigl? That's what I'm on tenterhooks to know.
Yeah, those are the we'll have to wait for the teaser trailer. Yeah.
And there's that dude who left the series, who played the hapless guy that was in... I only watched...
T.R. Knight.
Yes, thank you. I only watched it for half a season and I couldn't stand it, so I have no idea who.
So, 50...
Oh, Isaiah Washington. Is he coming back?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and this time he gets to work blue. Not due to the confines of network TV anymore. Mm. He gets to really tell you what he thinks of T.R. Knight. So... 50 Shades of Grey's Anatomy.
I would pay to watch 50 Shades of Grey's Anatomy is what I would do.
Yeah, that would actually be better than the actual...
Well, 50 Shades of Grey, no, the Grey's Anatomy actually includes Kate Capshaw, so once again we do have the Hollywood nepotism, it's everywhere, because Kate Capshaw is a Capshaw child, and that is a Steven Spielberg offspring, or offspring adjacent of some sort, and 50 Shades of Grey, the movie, has Don Johnson's kid getting naked for you. That's who Dakota Johnson is.
Already, I'm much horrified? More interested in this picture.
Oh.
Tell me, 50 Shades of Grey, I know next to nothing about it. I understand it's a very romantic tale. Probably a feel-good rom-com are we talking about here?
Well, there's a word in there that makes sense. tale. Mm-hmm. all right, so bearing in mind, I've never read 50 Shades of Grey.
That shocks me.
I don't know why. I have taste.
Yeah, because of the two of us in this room, one of us has read a Twilight book or two.
Three, four, however many there are.
Yeah, you've read the entire
Twilight. I read the bootlegged PDFs. I did not pay to actually read them. There's
bootlegs?
No, yes, yes.
So, what's her name is sitting in her garage just jamming on, vampire story.
Having a Diet Coke jam. So, to backtrack, because this conversation has gone on a terrible Meeba strip, 50 Shades of Grey started as Twilight fan fiction, where instead of it being...
No, really?
Yes.
This is actually true? You're not just doing... You're not doing a bit.
No, I'm not. We need to have picture in the podcast.
The expression I made apparently was priceless.
It's not even beeled brows, it's like an entire plague of insects brows.
I'm very confused.
So it's a Twilight fanfic where instead of Edward and Bella being vampire and boring high school girl, it's business tycoon and boring college girl. And, well, they age her up to college level because you can't do the spanking and the other things with high schoolers. People get queasy about that on the internet.
Mm.
Or some sections of the internet, I should say. So this fanfic that she wrote, I guess I can't remember if she published it herself or she decided to publish it. But, she published it as an ebook.
Ah.
And I think it took off. Anyway, it's turned into a trilogy, and from what I understand, this woman refers to her inner goddess a lot, right before things get really interesting. Yes. I know. I'm sorry. Don't look at me like that. I'm not the one who wrote the book. Don't look at me like that. Don't look at me in such judgment.
Okay.
And so anyway, this book is basically about a man who ties a woman and spanks her a lot, and I guess does some other stuff.
And this has its roots
in Twilight.
In Twilight.
Yeah, and remember, Twilight is...
Bella, the safety word. These
garlic. Garlic. Blah.
Blah.
Well, and as we know, Twilight's like the lamest vampire fiction of all time.
Well,
too,
yes,
so.
It is. Because the vampire, from what I understand, I have not read the books. I've seen like 20 seconds of the movie on FX before I ran from the room going, what?
Clawing out your eyes. What is this? What is this?
Because I think, is it Kristen Stewart?
Yes.
It looks like she is suffering a stroke throughout the movie because her face is just frozen in this rictus of
uncomprehending.
Well, I think
she's finally realized what she's making. Because to be fair, she's really good in... Here's a good movie recommendation, one that I love and I think more people should see, is Adventureland, which had Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart in it. Ryan Reynolds is also in
it. That's a coming-of-age picture.
Yeah, he
That's
has
not
to, spend
to be confused with Zombieland.
No, which I would like to see, because I understand it's also good. Mm-hmm. But anywho, Kristen Stewart can be good in stuff that's not Twilight. And as you know, the whole point of Twilight is sparkly immortal vampires have nothing better to do than go to high school in rainy Washington State.
Because if I'm immortal...
Yeah.
I want to make sure that I get a good education. Mm-hmm. It'll help me get a job that I can be in for the next couple centuries.
Vampires have strong opinions about the Common Core curriculum.
Oh,
they're not shy about expressing them. So, and apparently they dress
Reading
up...
Reading is fundamental, blah!
I miss the days when we had to learn cursive in diagram sentences, blah!
Your failure to appreciate the Western canon will be your undoing, blah!
I don't understand this new math. Why must I group things by factors of five, blah!
So in case you've just joined us, we're in Talk Like a Vampire podcast. All vampires apparently sound like the Count from Sesame Street.
They should. He's the best vampire ever.
Well, that's true. He's certainly better than the vampires on Twilight, who
are lame.
Play some sort of old-timey baseball in their old-timey baseball. I've seen someone showed me a picture of that. Hey, you like baseball? I don't like that.
Did that person not like you?
Yeah, I guess not. It was an act of aggression.
Okay, so apparently, over the course of this epic, I think it's three books, four movies, whatever.
This is the vampire book and not the spanking book.
No, we're on the vampire book.
Because I would like to see four volumes of a book about...
Well, over the course of the vampire epic, she gets married right out of high school and nobody objects because this does take place in a parallel universe. And... her husband impregnated her with the last of the semen he had stored in his testes before he was turned into a vampire.
Wait a minute.
Look at your face.
Wait a minute. This is a new detail to me. This is the first time you have ever mentioned this in any of our conversations. So when you are turned into a vampire,
you lose reproductive
capacity. So it's basically like a vasectomy, and now I want you to know you won't. We can't reverse this procedure, and you won't be able to.
They can't reverse it. It's like a non-reversible vasectomy.
So he had some sort of semen containment unit that he built in his castle in Transylvania.
No, I guess what happened since he died. Okay, I thought I know this origin story so much. I hate it. So. Edward the Vampire got turned during the Great Spanish Flu epidemic at the beginning of the 20th century.
Okay.
And one can only presume that as he lay there dying, his testes were still busy manufacturing teenage sperm, because he was a teenaged boy.
Sure.
He got turned into a vampire.
Following you so far.
Never once in the nearly 100 years has he been a vampire did he ever have the urge to polish the steak, as it were. And so...
So it's still... Okay.
It's human. This is where the biology goes weird, though, Phil, because it gets weirder from here. And I need you to hold on to your reaction so I can get through this without laughing incoherently.
Okay.
So although the sperm was manufactured while he was a human,
uh-huh.
because he impregnates her as a vampire, and because the author knows next to nothing about biology, like, somehow it turns into vampire sperm. And so...
Someone was sick in health class that Bella he explained.
Bella is incubating this vampire-human hybrid, and she has to survive on blood milkshakes until the baby becomes so large and so truculent that the only way to get it out is for the baby to snap her spine and her husband to perform a C-section with his teeth. And then she turns into a vampire, and when she comes out of her vampire coma, the baby is 9 months old, so she's managed to conveniently sleep through the most hellish parts of infancy. This is how you can tell Twilight was actually written by a mom, is because, again, let me stress this, heroine sleeps through the most stressful, hellish parts of infancy and comes to when the baby is adorable.
Yes. Missed all that meconium.
Yes. Oh, no. And the feeding every 90 minutes and the sleep training and all that. And so by the end of the last book, their child somehow miraculously ages into a self-potty training toddler over the course of like minutes or weeks or whatever. And there's going to be some big vampire war, except like they just think things at each other and it fizzles out. And then they live happily ever after in Washington, but not going to high school because now they have a half vampire child.
So.
Yeah. But this inspired some British lady to write a lot of spanky smut.
I don't mean to keep coming back to the vampire semen.
That's going to be the title of this podcast.
I was very confused when you initially told this to me, because I had assumed from your initial telling, now that I know the science behind
it. But there isn't. This is the thing that baffles me, is how would the baby have picked up vampire traits if the semen was manufactured when he was still human?
Well,
like it's Lamarckian, which is just bizarre.
Well, scientifically
wrong, as is all this.
What I thought is he gets bitten by a vampire. And he's, oh no, I'm going to turn into a vampire. What if I one day meet a girl 80, 90 years from now that I'm going to, and better get the test tubes copy of Hustler. And
he did not bank people's sperm in the off event that he wanted to impregnate a lady. He
would have been a much different movie if it had
vampire fertility clinic.
Yeah, exactly. There was a movie in the late 80s. It was the post Cheers part of Shelley Long's career.
Oh boy.
Where she actually is the owner of a sperm bank. And I'm blanking on the movie.
For one horrible moment, I thought you said Vampire Fertility Clinic, and I was going to say there's nothing new in
And I'm going to try and talk and type at the same time, which is always dangerous.
Well, why don't I do that while you talk?
No, because I remember so very little about this movie. Of the terrible movies that Shelley Long made after she lost Cheers, this doesn't even register on the Don't Tell Her It's Me, where Steve Guttenberg disguises himself as Lobo the Biker. There's Shelley Long.
Yes.
So now... Corbin Burnson is in it, so already you've got TV's power couple, Shelley Long and Corbin Burnson, making a...
Frozen Assets!
I have seen this movie.
Why?
If I'm to get all snooty about you reading a bootleg PDF copy of the Twilight Saga, I should at least confess my sins, which is, I've seen two Shelley Long movies. I have not seen Troop Beverly Hills, which I believe is the third movie of her trilogy, which is, Oh God, My Career.
I read the Twilight thing is there's an online message board I like to visit from time to time called Snarkfest, and they had this thread on Twilight where someone's like, you have to read this, it's beyond crazy and stupid, and they would post the best parts and spin off wild threads of speculation, and I just wanted to be part of the fun. So I read it, and then I was like, oh god, that was spectacularly awful.
And in fact, now Frozen Assets is coming back. Corbin Burnson is hired to run what he thinks is a bank. He's a banker. He's gonna take charge.
Oh no, he thinks it's a bank bank, but it's a spank. It's a spank bank and not a bank bank.
Yes,
spank bank, not bank bank. Okay, that didn't make you crack a smile.
No, it's good. It's good, but it's a sperm bank, and then complications ensue, and he and Shelley Long fall madly in love, and you know.
Well, that's certainly a story, is what that
is. Yes, but no vampires coming. I would like to make a deposit in case I meet a girl when I move to Washington. Blah!
No, there's nothing about the Twilight biology that makes sense in any capacity, and the vampires all have special powers in addition to being vampires.
Right.
And fortunately, the 50 Shades of Grey stripped out the psychic vampire and the vampire who can move shit with her mind or whatever else they have going on.
I can appreciate the fact that...
The precog vampire...
I can appreciate the fact that the vampires have talent and skills, because when you're alive forever, you have a lot of time to
they don't develop them. They like get turned or and then all of a sudden they have them, or they
I never knew I could do woodworking, blah.
Yeah,
stuff just, like that.
Yeah.
It's not like he's sitting like taking classes at the local Home Depot.
I left out perhaps the weirdest decision that this woman made when she did the Twilight movies, and that was to include a tribe of werewolves who are actually Native Americans.
Of course.
Yeah. Because there's nothing racist and troubling about that at all.
No.
But anyway, one of the things that the werewolves do is they bond with people for life, where, like, when they clap eyes on the person who's their life mate or whatever, like, that's it. They leave their marriages or their girlfriends or whatever.
And as happens in nature.
Yeah, apparently so. And this is the thing, is through most of the Twilight books, Bella is trying to choose between boring, sparkly sperm bank Edward and Jacob, who, like, gets ripped and becomes a werewolf, and obviously she chooses the vampire. But, like, here's the thing: her werewolf ex claps eyes on her daughter, and that's it. He falls in love with a baby.
That is not at all wrong or creepy or off-putting, and I can understand why people think that's very romantic.
Yeah.
Who among us hasn't walked into a
hope that a grown man will fall hopelessly in love with a baby?
Walked into a hospital and seen a room full of newborn babies and said, "Hey, good ratio."
Oh my god. Oh god, that's the
Yeah.
That is the most unsettling thing you've ever said.
And this isn't a podcast where I spent 5 minutes talking about vampire semen. Think about that, listener.
So, the point to all of this is that this is the origin material for 50 Cent of Grey.
50 Cent of Grey. I know next to nothing about rap music or 50 Cent's musical oeuvre. Let's assume that I made some great joke about how you get rich or die trying, and now the safety word is...
Safety word is Fitty?
Yeah. But... Fitty, stop hitting me!
Ow! So, 50 Shades of Grey is oh, I'm so impressed by this businessman. He flies me in his private plane, and then we have spanky fun times, and he...
Is that the original working title? Oh.
Did you click it off again?
No, we're still good.
Okay, spanky fun times.
Spanky fun times. I was so delighted with Spanky Fun Times as the title, I thought I had paused the recording, but we're still recording, thank God.
No one needs to miss this.
Yeah.
So
this is gold.
So 50 Shades of Grey, they've now made this into a Valentine's Day movie.
Yeah.
Not
unlike Gary Marshall's Valentine's Day. You can watch that in a double feature. Are you aware only of Valentine's Day?
Only if you hate people and yourself and Valentine's Day and life and other stuff.
Yeah.
Sure.
It would be a compare and contrast. Between the delightful annex of a Gary Marshall movie and...
The Gary Marshall movie stressed
me out. A spanky movie with Kate Capshaw's kid and Don Johnson's kid.
The thing is, the Kate Capshaw's kid isn't in the spanky movie, though.
Oh,
She's in Grey's Anatomy.
Oh!
The dude who's in 50 Shades of Grey is some guy named Jamie Dornan, who I think was a model. But I was super disappointed when I found...
Is he the multiple man?
No, that's Jamie Maddox.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Although I'm now imagining 50 Shades of X-Men.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Oh, wow.
That's not good.
No, let's
stop. Jean Grey will see you now.
I was going to say, let's stop that line of inquiry, but now I don't want to.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Jean Grey. You know, when that turns up on Tumblr with somebody saying that, we're going to be so sorry that Tumblr
that
doesn't
I didn't
give us...
Copyright 2014, Philip Michaels. The safety word is Magneto.
Charles, why am I seeing you again? So this dude, Jamie Dornan, is now playing the role of Christian Grey, businessman and spanker.
He was not the original choice
and he took the part. It was Charlie Hunnam.
Who, TV's Son of Anarchy,
yes,
Charlie Hunnam.
Yes, he plays Jax Teller on Son of Anarchy.
TV's undeclared Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah. Although they never seem to ask him to the reunions. I wonder why not.
Yeah. Pacific Rim Charlie Hunnam.
Exactly. Yeah, let's just go with that one.
Okay.
So he took the role, which, and I'm an ardent Sons of Anarchy watcher, and I have to admit I was like, oh no, oh, I can't even, no. And, my first question was, has he read the book?
Yeah, I would guess that he doesn't strike me as much of a reader.
Oh, you don't think?
And probably not the kind of person who would read 50 Shades of Grey, perhaps.
But I hoped he had loved ones who were like, you know what you're doing, right?
I think that was probably what happened.
Yeah, because apparently, like, when they asked his cast workers, his fellow castmates, you know, what do you think about Charlie being in 50 Shades of Grey? Like, apparently one person just started laughing, and it took them a few minutes to calm down and answer. But
I think how it was pitched is, hey, Charlie, where you there's a number one blockbuster that you that wants to cast you in it. Why don't you want to?
It's an erotic thriller.
I just think they said number one best-selling book, and maybe he thought he was going to be in the Eat, Pray, Love sequel.
What would that be? Diet, swear, hate?
Yes. Burp.
Burp, blaspheme.
And loosen the pants.
Burp, blaspheme, lose your number. Mm-hmm. But, no, have people actually looked at bestseller lists?
I've not in a while.
No, they're terrifying.
It's a lot of self-help books.
No, so then they bring in this guy, Jamie Dornan, and I was initially confused because I thought they meant Jamie Bamber. And then I was like, why is the cute guy from Law & Order UK going to be in this? And does this mean I have to see it now? Because, like I said, see also cute guy Law & Order. But no, it's some guy named Jamie Dornan. And so he's playing Christian Grey. And what is her name?
Dakota Johnson.
Yes, thank you. Dakota Johnson is playing the boring college student who is on the receiving end of the spanking. And she was in
a... You know, you say that the Law & Order UK guy but the couldn't be in it, but Jamie Dornan is apparently from Northern Ireland, and Charlie Hunnam is from the Newcastle area.
So clearly they just wanted some Northern European dude who couldn't say his R's.
So someone from the island, the Sceptred Isle.
Yeah.
He's been in...
I think the problem with casting your manly Australian actors as a sadomasochistic executive is you're kind of afraid they'd send the girl through the wall the first time they laid hands on her.
He's been in a TV series called The Fall, which I'm unaware of.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not on this side of
the... Well, the TV series I would want to talk about is...
Oh, Once Upon a Time. He was the huntsman in Once Upon a Time.
Dude, that series. There, Lana Perla is wasted. She's a gem and a genius, and we need to put her in something better. Dakota Johnson, however, was in a series on Fox called Ben and Kate that was actually a very sweet series and a really nice hangout sitcom and very watchable. And it had Lucy Punch as her female sidekick or accomplice. And Dakota Johnson had a really sweet presence in that. You know, she was just kind of the calm, normal center around which everything else crazy kind of revolved. But it was a sweet thing, and it was canceled because, of course, you know, that's what happens to most of the shows I like. So she went from this to... So she went from Ben and Kate to this. And from what I've seen in the previews, there's a whole lot of her looking anxious and biting her lip, and you see people's naked backs because that's what you can show to a general audience. And I... Honestly, then my brain shuts down self-defense because it just seems really boring.
Well, I do have to tell you, since we cannot go a podcast without Wikipedia appearing, there are other... It's a trilogy.
Yes.
There's 50 Shades Darker is the second movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is 50 Shades Freed.
Which freed from what?
I don't know. I originally read that as 50
wheel?
Shades Fried, and
they,
I thought it was...
Are they freed from the color wheel? Are they freed from the spectrum of human perception?
I have no idea, but, well, they're free now.
Mm.
They're free to spank who they want and be what they choose.
Mm-hmm.
So that is...
yeah. Oh, yeah. So, 50 Shades of Grey was... Oh, good Lord. Apparently it's attracted criticism due to its depictions of BDSM.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some debate back and forth over whether or not this is an accurate depiction and whether or not we should all be thinking of BDSM as something that's inherently empowering. And
I mentioned Eat, Pray, Love. Is this going to be one of those things?
Beat, Pray, Love?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Beat, Pray, Love, starring Julia Roberts as a dominatrix.
Well, it's the timing is also
the safety word is me, and then sessions always end early. Because
the timing is also a little bit unfortunate because there's that whole CBC thing going on right now with the DJ Gian Gomeshi.
Uh
huh. Have you heard about this?
Yes, I have.
Yeah,
I follow the news,
and he's used a lot of the whole "it's not abuse and it wasn't rape because I'm into BDSM and these chicks knew that," and so there have been people working very hard to point out the difference between consensual role play versus downright violence. And one of the criticisms that actually is attached to 50 Shades of Grey is that the consensual nature of the relationship and the violence are sometimes elided.
Okay.
So my feeling is that if there's any art form that knows how to take a thoughtful, nuanced look at relationships and to consider them from all angles to make sure that we're looking at the full human experience, it's not Hollywood.
No.
So.
No. And we're taking a dark turn on this podcast that started out about broken marriages among rebel fighters and vampire seamen.
Oh, I think Han and Leia are still together.
Yeah, well, I
mean, who would put up with either of them at this point? They have like a bunch of inside jokes, mm-hmm. and you know, it's he puts up with the fact that she takes 2 hours to braid her hair every day, and she puts up with the fact that his best friend is constantly making a dent in her couch and has to be vacuumed up after, and you know, they probably get together for Life Day and they enjoy it. You okay?
Is Lando Calrissian back in this one?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm our...
Well, what I hope is that like it turns out he's had like a passel of boys.
What?
I do hope that Lando Calrissian has a bunch of handsome, strapping young sons who are all over the screen.
Oh, okay.
I hope it's an excuse to bring in Idris Elba by like the third one in the new trilogy. I hope we get Idris Elba. Oh my God, please.
I was confused by what you were saying, given that the rest of this podcast has been about vampires.
I'm not suggesting that Lando Calrissian banged anything.
No, I think
he did it the old-fashioned way.
Okay, no, what I was getting at is...
I think the mechanics of reproduction happened in a galaxy long...
I thought you were talking about Lando being the head of some sort of harem or brothel or
I don't judge alternate family configurations.
No, neither do I. It mm-hmm. just, you know, the Cloud City thing didn't work out, so we had to line up some alternative work.
Diversify.
You gotta live.
Yeah.
You gotta live. The malt liquor ads, the King Cobra isn't calling anymore.
I'm pretty sure that Lando Calrissian landed on his feet after the Empire crumbled. He's a dude who perceives opportunity and takes it.
No, sure.
But, no, my hope is that he found a nice girl or four and settled down. As much as Lando Calrissian gift to the universe possibly can.
I think Lando has a gal in every spaceport.
And I hope that they all had handsome, young, strapping sons and that we see them all in the movies.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Well, we all have our wish list.
We do, don't we?
Not just save that for the letter to God.
And beat, pray, love.
Yes.
Dear Lord. Ow!
Well, we've amused ourselves in this episode
and
of
nobody
Phil and
Lisa else.
Ruin the movies.
Have we ruined enough things for you today?
So let's.
I just like to mention poor Jason beating his head gently against his desk as he goes through this.
I guess what we're recommending here is that you go
read something that is not either Twilight or Fifty Shades of Grey.
Okay, that's one.
I think I would recommend that.
You recommended a movie. Let's repeat the movie so that people know that with Kristen...
oh, that's right. I recommended
Adventureland.
Yes, that is the one movie I spoke very highly about. Sure. Jesse Eisenberg is breathtaking in that because you're like, oh, this is the roots of the Mark Zuckerberg performance. He's mm-hmm. he's very good in it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And
actually, Ryan Reynolds is a dude who's past his prime and fully aware of it. It's also painfully... accurately.
Ryan Reynolds acts well?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. No, he's really...
Well, we will have to see this. You know yeah. what we won't
oh,
be seeing?
Oh, Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig in it is a married couple, too, and their chemistry is very nice.
Okay.
I really like that movie.
We certainly will not be seeing at any point any of the Shelley Long movies mentioned in this podcast.
No.
And none of the Twilight movies, nor...
No.
Nor the actual ostensible subject of this episode.
50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of Grey.
I'm totally going to see the Star Wars movie when it comes out, though.
Yeah, you probably will.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you how it was.
Yeah, you will.
Okay.
Don't think I could stop you if I wanted.
Nope. Yeah, you won't. Spike.
Anyhow, this has been Phil and Lisa Ruin the Movies. I'm your host, Philip Michaels.
And I'm your host, Lisa Schmeiser.
Take care.